All right, there is new end time anticipation mounting in Israel regarding the third temple, a future war of Gog and Magog, and the return of the Messiah. You don't want to miss this one tonight. Let's go.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, guys, welcome to our 8 p.m. Eastern broadcast. It is Tuesday, October 22nd. We want to welcome everybody to the broadcast. Do me a favor, if you're new, first time joining us, first time joining one of our podcasts, whatever the case it be, let us know in the comment section below, whether it's in the live chat or the replay on YouTube, whatever the case it be. Let us know that this is your first time joining us, and let us know where you guys are tuning in from. Of course, this time we want to welcome everybody from Rumble. You guys that watch the rebroadcast of this from Rumble, you guys that are listening by Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast, we welcome you as well. Again, this is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. I'm your host, Ricky Scapero, the founder, the voice, and the pastor of End Time Headlines. And before we get started, can you do me a favor, guys? Will you help us get this word out? You can do that by taking a couple seconds just to hit that like button. And it's going to help push this out on these platforms so other people can be blessed by this information just as much as you do. And take it a step further. Hit that bell notification. Hit that subscribe button there on YouTube and Rumble or wherever you may be watching this as well. And we greatly appreciate that here at End Time Headlines. All right, we've got a scripture for you, Matthew chapter 24, verse 32 through 33. If you're listening again by podcast, that's Matthew chapter 24, verses 32 through 33. This is in the context of Jesus speaking to the disciples, in which he asked them, what will be the end times, what will be the signs of the end times, what will be the signs of the coming and the end of the age? And he goes through this whole list of what they should expect, what they'll see, what they'll experience. And then he gives them a major clue, and he tells them in verse 32, now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all of these things, know that it is near at the doors. Now, the fig tree, and this is not just my opinion, but other biblical scholars, those that study and teach eschatology, theologians will agree that the fig tree is referencing the nation of Israel. So what Jesus was telling us is that if you want to know the main prophetic puzzle piece of the end times and the compass, if you would, to gauge how close we are to the end of the age and the coming of the Son of Man and this thing wrapping up, pay close attention to the nation of Israel, because all major end time events will be centered around the nation of Israel. Now, I could take time right here and go 30 minutes out, but I'm not going to do this, and go through all the prophecies that has been foretold by the prophets that has been fulfilled in either our lifetime are the lifetime before us, beginning 1948, Israel being born as a nation, 1967, Jerusalem being the capital, being reinstated. The prophet said that there would be a great exodus of the Jews that would come out of the north. It would be greater than the exodus that came out of Egypt. That is already happening. It's been happening. He talks about Israel would blossom again. It would come alive again. It would come back from the state of being completely annihilated, destroyed, and be barren. And they will bloom forth and rise again. This was fulfilled Ezekiel 37 under a certain dictator who tried to wipe out 6 million Jews. Many scholars believe Ezekiel chapter 37 was in reference to the Holocaust. But again, Israel came back literally from the very edge of existence and completely being annihilated, they came back, and this was prophetic. Israel began, the prophet said that Israel would begin to flourish. They would begin to blossom. They would begin to be a leading produce, a leading producer of agriculture and produce and fruits and vegetables. And this is happening. So I'm just telling you today, guys, that Israel is the fig tree. And the Messiah said that when its branch becomes tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So also when you see these things, know that it's even at the doors. So consequently, and many of you guys know this, there has been a lot of chatter. Not only chatter, but also active preparation on the part of the Jewish Sanhedrin, the Temple Institute, rabbis, and all those that are involved in preparing a red heifer that would be without blemish and would be qualified for the sacrifice for the anticipation of the building of the third temple in Israel. Now, this was huge about a year ago, before October 7th. Now, there has been a lot of talk also, and we've covered this in the past. There's been sources that's indicated this, that the Muslims and the Muslim nations around Israel all understand and they hear the chatter that's going on. They see the building of anticipation, the messianic anticipation that's happening in Israel. They're very well aware of the anticipation and the intent and purpose to one day build a third temple in Jerusalem. They see all the rituals that's taking place. They are aware of the red heifers. They're aware of the heifers that were brought from the state of Texas in America and brought to be preserved in Israel, to be watched, to be monitored, because they have to go through a process where in which as they age, as these heifers get older, these rabbis and these priests that are anointed and appointed by the Sanhedrin and the Temple Institute, that they run a fine-tooth comb over these heifers to make sure that they meet all the qualifications. And if they meet those qualifications, and they only need, from what I understand, they only need one. And there was, what, five that were brought? So once they reach that age of maturity, and if they're still without blemish, and again, that's five. So if you've got one or two or even three that don't meet that qualifications, you've still got two. You've even got one if four of them don't. So again, it's simple math. So this is why there is such anticipation that's been building for the last 12 months in Israel for the sacrifice of this red heifer, because this red heifer has to be used. And this all goes back to Leviticus, the Levitical priesthood, the rituals, and they still carry these things out, okay? And the entire Sanhedrin has already got, they've got the priests lined up, they've got all the instruments that will be used, they've got the material that will be used, they've got everything lined up. The last, from what I understand, the last thing that needs to be done is these heifers to meet the qualifications, or I should say heifer. But now I'm going to go back to this. Being that many of the Muslims understand this, there was multiple reports that stated that one of the reasons that October 7th, not the only reason, but one of the reasons why it was carried out is to stop, are you hearing me? To stop the sacrifice of the heifer, which they understand would stop the construction of the third temple. Okay, because remember the temple, guys, this is sacred to all three monotheistic religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. The temple in Jerusalem has a history with all three of these major religions. It's interesting. All three major religions, all three have a Messiah that they're anticipating and waiting on as well. You've got Yeshua, the Messiah for the Christians. The Jews are anticipating a Messiah, but it's not, unless they are Messianic Jews, unless they've been born again by Jesus Christ, then they're not looking for the Messiah that you and I as Christians are anticipating looking for. Okay, and then the Messiah of Islam is called the Mahdi. And without taking too much time in that, I believe, after much study on this, I believe this Mahdi, this Messiah, the awaited one, the one that the Islam is looking for, I believe he fits the bill and the criteria to meet to fill the definition and the description of what the Bible calls the Antichrist of the Bible. We've taught on that before, so we're not going to take too much time on this. Now, having said that, your Bible clearly states that the temple, somebody say the temple, will be very, very important when it pertains to the end times. Now, that's why I want to show you this, and then we've got some new information I want to give to you tonight. According to the book of Daniel, Daniel 9:27 tells us that when the Antichrist comes on the scene, he will confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. This will be a covenant with many nations, with the nation of Israel in the name and the diplomacy of peace for 7 years. Though it says 1 week in Hebrew, that is 7 years. But in the middle of the week, or in the middle of those 7 years, the Antichrist will bring an end to sacrifice and offering, and on the wing of abominations shall be one who makes desolate. Now, the wing of abominations, this is on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. He will bring an end to sacrifice and offerings with the help of the false prophet. They will set up an image of the beast on the wing of the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, and this is called the wing of abominations, even until the consummation, which is determined, is poured out on the desolate. Then we go to the book of Matthew chapter 24, and Jesus said in verse 15, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, and now he's referencing back to the Old Testament in Daniel, whoever reads, let him understand. And then those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Guys, the Jews that will see this, that will be alive, when they see this blasphemous image that the false prophet will have the people of the earth create, that, and it will be able to speak and live and cause people to worship this Antichrist, there will be a remnant standing there that will see this and call this an abomination. They will remember. That's why Jesus said, let him who reads this and understand this, their eyes of their understanding for many will be open, and they will know at that point that this is not the Messiah that they have been waiting for. Now, I want to stop and interject something here. I have said this for years. I believe that if you've kept up with our ministry for a while, we've done many reports on this. There is many rabbis that have gone as far as to claim that they have spoken to, now again, I use their terms, the Messiah, that he is alive, that he is here, that he is already in the earth, and he will be revealed in his time. Now, this is according to many Jewish rabbis in Israel who have stated this. Now, I have a problem with that, because your Bible says the real Jesus Christ, the real Messiah, first of all, he's not here on earth yet. The Bible says he will come out of heaven. Jude says he will come with 10,000s of his saints. Come on, he'll come. John saw him coming on a white horse. And he comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon the ungodly for all their ungodly deeds and abominations in which they have committed. Read that's in the book of Jude. Jesus said, he said, if they say to you, lo, he's in the desert, do not go unto them. Or, hey, he's standing over here, don't go. He said, as sure as lightning flashes from the east to the west, so shall it be at the return of the Son of Man. The Bible says every eye shall see him and every tongue shall confess when he appears on that white horse. Come on that day which he comes and set his foot on the Mount of Olives. So this is why I have a problem with this. So the conclusion that I have is, watch this, that when the biblical Antichrist emerges after the restrainer has been removed, let me go there now. Let me show you this. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, let no one deceive you by any means, for the day will not come unless the falling away comes first, the defection of truth, the apostasy. And boy, is that not happening? You need to go back and watch our program we did earlier today at 2 p.m. Eastern. You'll see that in full display. He said, all that's going to come first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshiped. Now, what does it say here, church? He sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Okay, so this Antichrist, okay, we've concluded from Daniel, the Gospel of Matthew, wherein which Jesus spoke and Matthew documented it, and then Paul confirmed it in his letter to Thessalonica that the Antichrist, who will be controlled by Satan, will sit in the temple in Jerusalem and declare himself as God. And then finally, we see here in the book of Revelation, chapter 11, John was permitted by God to see into the future. Now, again, this is in during the tribulation. Remember, Daniel 9:27, the Antichrist will confirm a covenant of 7 years with Israel. This is where you get this 7-year tribulation. During this time, John said, I was given a reed like a measuring rod, and the angel stood saying, rise and measure the temple of God. Somebody say the temple of God. Now, why do I keep saying that? Because there's a lot of, I'm telling you, you can go on YouTube. You can go on Apple and Spotify or listen to podcasts and people on Christian television, and they'll tell you there is no coming third temple. These are mostly replacement theologists, dominionists, a lot of the NAR, New Apostolic Reformation people. They will tell you there's no physical third temple coming and that we are the temple of God. And it's absolute biblical ignorance. There is a temple of brick and mortar, which is this, and there is a physical temple, which is our bodies. When Jesus said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, God shall raise it up, he was talking about this physical temple, which is flesh and blood, the physical body. He wasn't talking about the temple in Jerusalem. Okay? But in this case, John saw a brick and mortar temple that had an altar and people worshiping there. It's right here in Revelation 11. And he says, leave out the court which is outside the temple and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles, and they will tread the holy city under feet for 42 months. Okay? So again, and that's all going to happen. Again, when this Antichrist takes over the temple in 2 Thessalonians and Daniel 9:27, he's taking the world hostage. He's rising to power. There'll be 10 kings that will surrender their kingdoms over to the Antichrist. And then you've got the kings of the East, plural tense, that will march over the Euphrates River to try to destroy the Antichrist. Because again, he's taken the whole world hostage. Okay, so this is why John saw the holy city trampled on for 42 months. All right, so that was about a 20-minute foundation. Now I want to get you to some new information that's coming out. What, again, we talked about this. There's end-time anticipation that's building in Israel. Look at this headline, guys. Quote, water libation reenactment takes place in preparation for the third temple. According to Israel 365 News on Sunday, this was this past Sunday, a full dress reenactment of the water libation as it was performed in the temple was held in Jerusalem with several hundred participants led by Kohanim and priestly garment accompanied by the Levites playing musical instruments. The event began at Shar Hashpot, the Dung Gate in Jerusalem's Old City, where participants joined the priest in biblically mandated vestments and Levites with musical instruments. Also wearing special vestments, the musically gifted Levites led the ceremony with joyous music on drums, violin, guitar, and clarinet, winding down ancient walkways into the valley below the Temple Mount. The crowd sang and danced as they passed from the archaeological remains of ancient city David through an Arab village to the Siloam Spring, which was used in temple times. The procession was punctuated by stops during which 4-foot-long pure silver trumpets were sounded. The Temple Institute prepared a special gold-plated gold-silver vessel for use in the third temple. Let me say that again. The Temple Institute prepared a special gold-plated solid silver vessel that would be used in the third temple. The vessel was carried at the head of the procession to this pool, the Siloam pool, where it was filled with from the spring. The procession climbed back up to the top of the mountain. A model altar and its utensils had been set up in an open area adjacent to the western wall. The altar was decorated with large leafy willow branches, as was done in the temple. Though not explicitly mandated in the Torah, the water libation is part of the oral tradition passed down from Moses. During the Feast of Tabernacles, which is what we're in, the water libation was the focal point of this joy. In the temple, the ceremony would take 15 hours with accompanying celebrations lasting all night until the temple service began again the next morning. Nations came from around the world, came to take part in these celebrations, making it an international worship ceremony of God. So the point here is, again, as I said at the beginning of this, they are carrying out these rituals, guys, in the anticipation and preparation for the third temple. Now, stop. Why did we hear so much anticipation for the soon coming construction of the third temple and the preparation of the red heifer, and then it stopped and we haven't heard anything for over a year? Again, the reason is because Israel's been in a full-blown conflict with Iran and all of these proxies, okay, across 7 fronts. So all of this has put a damper on this and stopped this. But there is new anticipation building. I want to show you this. Now, this is from JNS, with eyes on winning war. So they know they're going to win this war. Look at this. With eyes on winning war, building third Jewish temple, ark replica shown in Jerusalem. Wow. With eyes on winning this war and building a third Jewish temple, also an ark replica shown in Jerusalem. A replica of the Ark of the Covenant, painstakingly constructed, its creators say, to the Torah specifications of the sacred vessel that was the first temple central fixture, was on display in Jerusalem this past Sunday evening during the intermediate days of the Feast of Tabernacles. Wow. This Ark, described in the Torah, was home to the Ten Commandment tablets, among other holy objects, was hidden after the destruction of the first temple, according to rabbinical traditions. At Jerusalem's King David Hotel, the replica shown in the hotel's Feast of Tabernacles contained a refurbished Torah scroll which survived the Holocaust from Greece. Several members of the Knesset and Israeli activists were on hand at the hotel for an event and festival meal, a stop on the replica's journey, retracing the steps of the biblical prototype. According to the reports, it took 17 volunteers who live in several countries 3.5 years to build the replica ark, which is made out of donated gold and some 3 tons of Egyptian acacia, according to Jake, the project's chief architect, who prefers to remain anonymous, and Lewis Topper, its principal financer. Now, I want to pull this up. This is a, what you're looking at is, this is that Ark of the Covenant replica. This is the Ark of the Covenant replica that we are speaking of in this article today. Now, the individual who constructed this, oversaw this, put all this together, told attendees at this, the unveiling of this during the Feast of Tabernacles, that the replica Ark might be providing some symbolic military assistance, because he goes on, he talks about how the Ark of the Covenant was displayed when Israel would win victories over her enemies. Quote, "We brought it to Israel to get it reattached to all of the places it was before." Jake hopes the replica Ark can be used more formally in the current war. They went on further to say that, quote, "This was a project." Now, listen to this verbiage, guys. "This was a project designed to bring." I mean, I'm just going to pull this up so that way you can see what I'm looking at here. I want to read this to you. "It was a project designed to bring peace to the world and bring victory to the land of Israel and to, quote, bring peace and kindness to America again. The project was so dearly received by Hashim that he personally greased the wheels of every obstacle that we came across. The rewards of the 3.5 year journey were amplified for Topper when the replica Ark arrived in Jerusalem." All right, quote, "The symbolism of an Ark replica approximating the return of the Ark to Judaism is significant, according to Kadar." Listen to this, quote, "Now we can see with our own eyes something that we have missed for 2,000 years. We have never seen such things. We've heard about them. We've learned about them. We see pictures, but we have never seen them in real life. It is very important for us to see how these really were, to touch things, to see them, to measure them, and to stand near them. We haven't done so for 2,000 years. Quote, we can see, we can feel, we can touch, and we can take pictures with them." So what these rabbis are saying, that again, those that are involved in the anticipation of creating this third temple or building this third temple, that all of these are more signs that God is favoring them, or he's supernaturally helping them to move forward with this project. So this is huge news. And then I want to show you another huge report today. I thought this was interesting. A major Israeli rabbi has stated that the Gog and Magog war will begin and end on Wednesday morning. Now, again, as of now, as of the reporting of this tonight, it is October 22nd, 2024. This major Israeli rabbi believes that the Gog-Magog war, you know, Ezekiel 38, 39, they believe in this too, and so do the Muslims, by the way. This rabbi believes it will both begin and end on Wednesday morning. What? According to Rabbi Yitzchok Zilberstein, a prominent Orthodox rabbi in Israel, recently gave a lesson to his students in Ramit Elchanan B'nai Brak. In which he said that the war of Gog and Magog would take place in its entirety in 3 hours before dawn on Wednesday, the Jewish holiday of Hoshana Rabba, which is the seventh day of the Feast of Tabernacles. Rabbi Zilberstein discussed the miracles happening to Israel throughout the year-long war. In his lecture, he noted that Hamas, Hezbollah, the Houthis, and Iran have fired over 2,000 rockets into Israel with relatively few casualties. The rabbi referred to a teaching by another rabbi, and I'm not even going to try to mention this guy's name because it's so long, who is a 15th century Italian rabbi known as the Bartinura. In his commentary on the Mishnah, this rabbi predicted when the revival of the dead would occur and when the war of Gog and Magog would begin. Now stop. So this is interesting to point out that this rabbi, Rabbi Zilberstein is basing this prediction on the oral tradition of another rabbi, not so much on the Bible that we know of. That's huge, because I don't believe it's going to happen. That war of Gog and Magog, I don't think it's going to happen tomorrow. I'm just saying. I could be wrong. I could come back on here and say, wow, this guy was right. The rabbi was right. The war did take place, and it lasted 3 hours, and it's over. But I don't see it happening. And again, and I base that on several reasons. One, I don't think that it's time for the war of Gog and Magog, Ezekiel 38:39, because Israel's not in that state, in that condition in which the prophet said they would be when this war took place. Number two, Syria is not mentioned in that war. And we speculate they're not mentioned because Damascus will be destroyed likely. That's the only reason why I believe they wouldn't be mentioned. And as of now, that's not been fulfilled as well. So I don't believe this is going to happen. But let me read on here. This rabbi is predicted. Now I'm talking about the rabbi Bartunra, who this other rabbi is referring to. He predicted when the revival of the dead would occur and when the war of Gog and Magog would begin. He based his interpretation of the revival of the dead on Ezekiel's vision of dry bones, Ezekiel 37, which is read in synagogues on Passover. Bartunra explains that this corresponds to the dead's actual resurrection, which will occur on Passover. Bartunra writes that based on a latter section of the book of Ezekiel 18 and 39 and 16, the war of Gog and Magog will begin in the Feast of Tabernacles. This section is read in synagogues during this feast. Therefore, he said, we must strive not to spoil things. In other words, everything depends on us, on each and every one of us. This is a time of special favor, and we must try not to spoil it, meaning to make every effort to fulfill Hashem, and that's God's will, each person according to their ability. It is to be remembered that the war began on the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles last year when the Palestinian Hamas invaded Israel and massacred its citizens. Now, I do want to read this. This is interesting. Let me pull this up and I'll show you what I'm looking at here. Quote, this is a war with global implications, pitting Jews and Christians, the people of the Bible, against Muslims and secular progressives who reject the Bible and all that it stands for. Rabbi Michel wrote, based on Jewish sources, Rabbi Michel identifies the leader of the Gog and Magog coalition as Islamist Iran. That would be Persia. So he's not wrong on that. He also identifies Iran as the fourth kingdom of Ishmael and Edom, described in the book of Daniel as working together to persecute Israel at the end times. Gog and Magog's motivations for attacking Israel are different from those of other nations that have attacked Israel throughout history. Iran, Hamas, and Hezbollah are not afraid that Israel will conquer their lands, nor do they seek economic benefits from attacking Israel. Hamas attacks, have only brought death and destruction upon the Gaza Strip. They are driven by pure hatred of Israel, seeking only to and destroy. Gog and his allies believe they can uproot the people of Israel and send them once again into the darkness of exile. Rabbi Michel predicts that the focus of the pre-Messiah war will shift, putting the former allies Esau and Ishmael against one another. Quote, not only will Gog and the people of Ishmael suffer for their sins, but so will Edom, the Western nations that support them. He went on to say, initially, the Edomites will join the Ishmaelites in an alliance against Israel, but ultimately, the Ishmaelites will turn on the Edomites, who will be forced to fight back. Quote, the Western nations trying so hard to appease the Ishmaelites will inevitably have no choice but to battle the Islamic jihadists of Iran and their allies in proxies. Wow. When the Ishmaelites go too far and directly attack the West, the Edomites will be forced to declare war against them. This will lead to the, quote, great war between Ishmael and the West. Now, remember, guys, this is also prophesied in the Quran and the Hadith. They believe that there must be a great war between Islam and the West in the last days to usher in the Mahdi, when every man's sword will be against his brother. So here's the point. You say, well, Brother Ricky, why did you give this guy this much spotlight? Because obviously the war of Gog and Magog is not going to happen tomorrow. Guys, I know that, but you're missing the point. The point is, what did I say? End time anticipation is mounting in Israel. Let's just recap this real quick before we close this segment tonight. There is messianic anticipation. There is anticipation of a global war called Gog Magog that is believed and taught among all three monotheistic religions, Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. All three believe in this war in the end times. The third thing is there's an anticipation among all three religions of a final temple. Now, the Muslims are trying to prevent it. The Christians believe that it's coming based on scriptures, and Israel believes that they will see its construction with the help of the Jewish Sanhedrin, the Temple Institute, and even politicians in Israel that are overseeing it. And they have all the instruments. They have all the necessities lined up except for these red heifers. And again, we've went over this. All of this has been put on pause because of this war. So can you guys not see? Isn't this amazing? Guys, again, I'll leave you with Luke 21:28. When you begin to see all these things coming to pass, look up and lift up your heads because your redemption is drawing near. And I want to leave you again with Matthew 24:33. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the doors. Listen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Guys, I'd love to hear your comments on this. Let me know in the chat. Let us know on Rumble. What do you think on the replay on YouTube? Let us know in the comment section below. What do you think about these new reports coming out in Israel and the Mideast? I'd love to hear from you again. Guys, if you've not downloaded our free app, we would love for you guys to pick it up today. Go to your Apple Android store. If you're watching this, under the description of this video, there's a link that says download our free app. You can click on that link and you can pick it up today. And again, be sure to hit push notifications so you can be notified and keep up to with the latest and everything that we put out. And as always, guys, don't forget to pray. We'd love for you guys to pray about becoming a monthly partner of our ministry. Again, we believe, listen, if this ministry blesses you, it equips you, it informs you, and all the above, then listen, I believe you'll want to support a ministry. I know that's how I feel. I have joy in supporting and sowing into ministries that I get fed to personally that I know are doing the work of the Lord and that are equipping and edifying, informing, and believe in the whole counsel of the Bible and it's, you know, and everything that needs to be taught and preached in these last days. So if our ministry does that for you, if this is your home church, whatever your relationship is with us, again, we'd love for you to pray about becoming a partner of our ministry. You can do that two different ways. You can give electronically, several ways to do that. You can go through the app. You can go to the main website or right here on YouTube. There is at the top of where under the comments or under the live chat, there's a support in big bold letters. You can click on the link there. If you guys are watching by Rumble, again, in the description, you'll see where it says support our ministry or support the ministry or support ETH. There's a link there. You could do that to where there as well. And also, if you wish to give by check or money order, you can do that, making it out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So as always, it's a great pleasure to come on here. Again, we've been pumping these out 2 days a week now, 2 p.m. on Eastern during the day, Monday through Friday. Sometimes we have stuff coming out on the weekends. There's just so much going on, guys. We got to get the message across. We got to get the info out there. So if you don't catch us on our 8 p.m. hour, we try to come on here at 2 p.m. and we put out something that we feel like is relevant and that's informative that you need to know about. pertaining to the times and season which we're in. But we love our 8 p.m. Eastern crowd that we get here at night. We love all of our ETH family, and it's always a great time being with you guys. And again, we appreciate all of our partners. You know who you are, that email us, that message us, that the letters, the cards, the gifts. Again, our heart is full of gratitude for people just like you that support our ministry. So listen, we love you guys. We appreciate you. Again, do us a favor, hit that like button, hit that bell notification, hit that subscribe button. All that's going to be beneficial to both of us, you and me, and getting eyes on our ministry. So we're going to sign off for tonight. We plan on being back here tomorrow, Wednesday, October 23rd. And until then, I pray the Lord bless you, may he keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.